Thank you. I appreciate that. And boy, what a song to just simply quiet our minds a little bit in the craziness of the week, the struggles of the week, all the things going on. So we appreciate that. Turn your Bibles to Philemon. We're still going through the book of Philemon methodically and also slowly so we can get some theology out of it. But we've gone through the first part of it, and we've seen how Paul has been able to communicate his heart, and interesting enough that as you know the story, and sometimes it's difficult to teach through some of the books of the Bible that we've already, you've known, you've read, you've studied through, and you know their outcome, you know what's going on, but at the same time, we don't want to miss what Paul, I think, is how he is approaching Philemon. I think it's a very good lesson for us to realize, how do we approach individuals that we need to sort of instruct and still love at the same time? How do we talk to people who really need some encouragement in order to do a right thing? And so we have a great lesson in Paul and what he's doing. And we have read down through and studied down through all the way to verse 12. But I just want to back up a little bit in verse 10 and give a little bit of a replay of some of what we looked at last week. Basically, verse 10 and 11 is a plea for a spiritual son. This is when the transition happened. This is when basically Paul says in the very first few verse of that, I beseech thee, or I appeal to thee, Philemon, I beg you, just do something. And again, what Paul's about to say, he knows it's going to be very difficult for Philemon to do because Onesimus was with his servant. He stole from him. He ran from him. And so Philemon had every right to put him to death, basically. So Paul's going to ask him to do something that goes against the grain of culture, goes against the grain of where they're all living. And I find that very interesting because many times in our walk in this life we live, in this journey of our world, we are going to be confronted and we're going to have a choice to either follow or go against the flow. And I truly believe the longer that we are on this earth, we're going to be going against the flow of Christianity to be able to stay true to the biblical truth of the Word of God. And so we have those questions. We have those forks in the road where we're going to have to make some of those decisions and some of those choices. So we find Paul, and very interesting, first thing he does is he appeals to him. I beseech thee, I beg you, basically I appeal to you. And again, it's a repeat from verse 9, as he basically said, for love's sake, I rather beseech thee. Again, beseech thee is the same Greek for beseech thee in verse 10. I appeal to you. And so he sets the stage in verse 9, for love's sake, I'm going to ask you to do something that will go against the flow, will go against the grain. So the first and foremost, we all know this, that I really truly believe the foundation of our God and the foundation of our service to God all rest on love. He loved us enough while we were yet sinners, he died for us. We ought to love him enough to go against the flow to serve him truly and to serve him correctly. So this foundational love Paul sets in verse 9. Verse 10, again, he appeals to them for the Onesimus. And again, we realize that as Onesimus has escaped from Philemon, somehow he met Paul. Paul was in prison at the time. So somehow Onesimus met him. And as he met him, we realize that through conversing with Paul, he led him to Christ. And it's an amazing thing. And again, we don't save anybody, but we lead them to the Savior and able for them to accept them. So Onesimus did that. So Paul now basically refers to him in verse 10. As you see the whole verse, I beseech thee, appeal to thee for my son. Paul now is the spiritual father of Onesimus. And so that created a bond in them. And he says also that whom I have begotten in my bonds or in chains. So while he was in prison, again, Onesimus met him, led him to the Lord. And so now it's interesting because when we go down into verse 11, again, we find out that Onesimus there, which in time past was unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. So he says there's a change that has taken place. And it's just phenomenal to me of this transitional verses. Because Onesimus was one that nobody would want. He was unprofitable, but now he's profitable. Why? Because he's now saved. His life has been changed. He is now different. He is now can be used by God as Paul to help me, Philemon to help you. So as I studied through this and I read through this again, I thought, you know, would someone say about your life that you are profitable to them only because you are now a Christian? Not profitable because of what you can do for them, not profitable what you can give to them, not profitable for any other reason other than, listen, he's in Christ, so therefore he's going to be profitable. And I sort of looked at it the backhanded way and said, boy, you know, we should live our lives that we are basically looked upon as somebody who is profitable. Whether somebody needs some advice, whether somebody needs some help, whether somebody needs anything, they'll look at us as people that they can count on, people that they can ask, people that they can help. Doesn't mean we're able to do everything for everybody, but the availability, they know that we will be there if we possibly can. And you know, in a world that we live today, that's becoming a rarity. You know, everybody is so busy. Everybody's doing their own agenda. Everybody's about their own selfish deal that sometimes it's hard to find people just to set their stuff down and come and help. So in this opportunity that God has given us through this pandemic and through the world in which we live and all the chaos and the craziness going on, I think one of the platforms that God is using that we could use is just to be available for people. Just to be available and just be willing to be profitable to that person. And again, we can't be there for everybody. We can't fix everybody. But man, the heart and the willingness to just be there. There's a presence. When you and I realize, when we say the word, what does it mean to have a presence? Well, presence, one, is to physically be there. But when you're there, they ought to sense the presence of Christ. There should be a presence. Now, think of that in a way that if there was a time when you were somewhere and all of a sudden the President of the United States walked in, there's a presence about that office. And it's not called the security guards. There's just a presence about that man because of the office he holds. Or if a military guy would come in, there's a presence. Or if anybody would come in, wanted or unwanted, there's a presence about them. And so for me, if I'm going to be profitable, there has to be a presence of Christ there. So as we see this, and I think that's where Paul's coming from, saying that now he's once a slave, he once unprofitable, but now he is profitable to the both of us. And again, it's simply because of his transition from someone who does not know Christ to somebody who does know Christ. So we stopped last week at the end of verse 11, and we looked at verse 12. In verse 12, Paul begins to plead from his heart. He pleaded for the love's sake. Now Paul's going to plead from his own heart. Because as we see in verse 12, it says, "Whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is, my own bowels." Basically, what he's saying is, I am sending him back to you. And we just touched on that last week. Because look at it from two perspectives. You have two people standing at the door. Philemon, who opened it, and Onesimus, who's standing on the other side. Both of them are going to see each other without knowing anything that has taken place. So what would your immediate reaction be? And so Paul, interesting enough, Paul, and we get it from this verse, I'm sending him back. Onesimus held the letter that we are studying to give to Philemon. He held it in his hand to give to him. So Onesimus had to be okay with this too. He knew the dangers. He knew what he was getting into. He knew what Philemon could have done to him. So he was trusting his God enough that the God inside Philemon, that Philemon would be okay with that. And that blows my mind away. That the presence of God was there so much that these two men trusted, not in each other, but they trusted the God that was in them. And that speaks volumes to me. That kind of a relationship seems to be falling by the wayside among Christians today. You know, sometimes we've been burnt so much, sometimes things are happening so much that we don't know the God that's in them, and we trust that God in them. Even though what we see may not be right, we still trust the God that's in them. We pray to that God that's in them and allow God to do something very interesting or very big in their lives. So Onesimus is standing at the door. Philemon's on the other side of the door. And Paul simply says, as he says in verse 12, that receive him as if, and I'm going to redo what the scripture says there, that is my own bowels. Basically, receive him as if it was me. Philemon, I want you to receive him just like you would receive me. Philemon, what would you do if I was outside that door? Would you throw a party? Would you come and hug me? What would you do? Paul says, I want you to do the same thing to Onesimus that you're going to do or would do for me. So Paul opens and he shares from his heart. Basically, he tugs at the emotional cord. How can Philemon refuse this? How can Philemon, after, again, probably seeing the letter, and I'm kind of thinking in my mind that I don't know if Philemon would have been at that door, could have been a servant at that door, could have gave him the letter, could have read the letter knowing Onesimus was out there. I'm sure the servants were doing their duties because Philemon was a well-off individual, had the big house. But anyway, Paul went to his emotions. And basically, I don't think Philemon could refuse Paul. So to me, it's an amazing way of look at this, how Paul used the right words at the right time to be able to accomplish what God wanted to accomplish. And that's another thing that struck in me, how we use our words, how we approach situations, how we approach people. And so Paul was very good at this. He used it well. And basically, again, as Onesimus brought the letter, Paul encouraged him from his heart. The other plea that we find in here, now we're gonna jump a verses, and then we're going to come back to those verses, but jump to verse 17. Verse 17 in Philemon says, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. So Paul in verse 12 said, receive him as if it was me. Now in verse 17, he's saying, welcome him as if he was my partner. Basically, Onesimus, if he was welcoming Paul himself, and then if he's my partner. If we were in business together, the partner that Paul says here is the one that says, listen, he is the one working with me. And so he appealed to him on two different levels, one from the heart and one from a business mindset. Maybe Philemon would have understood that one better. But he appeals to him as a partner. And again, Paul was considered a partner of Philemon's. And so he would understand the concept of what Paul was asking and what Paul would do. So jump back up to verse 13. And we're going to look at it real quickly. It says, whom I would have retained with me, that in my stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. Basically, as says it a little different this way. But Paul now is going to the relationship. And the first thing we find in this relationship that Paul is introducing is the brotherhood between Paul and Onesimus. Again, we're going to look at some characteristics in the next few verses. We're not going to get them all in tonight. We'll get this one in tonight, and we'll look at the other ones next week. But this is a characteristic of a relationship of two godly men serving God. And you could say two women, godly women serving God. But there's now going to be, in the next following few verses, 13, 14, 15, and 16, some characteristics that we want to pull out. So the first characteristic we see here, basically, is the brotherhood between Paul and Onesimus. There's a bond. And I don't know, many of you probably experience this. Sometimes you go on vacation, you know, and you'll be in another state, you'll be somewhere else, and you'll be in a restaurant, you know, and you see somebody pray for their food, or maybe they say you pray for your food, and all of a sudden you just get this, there's a brother. There's a bond. Automatically, you understand. And, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I've gone over to him and said, hey, great to see you praying. And, you know, you just make that little connection real quick and just, you know, it's a bond. But goes a little deeper with Onesimus, because Onesimus was there helping Paul. And he says in that verse 13, he said, I would have retained him with me. I would have kept him here that he could continue basically to minister to him and continue to, because Paul couldn't go out. Onesimus could. And he was going to use him in ministry. But Paul said, it's better for this to be taken care of than it is for him to stay with me and be in ministry with me. It puts a great significance on the tension between Onesimus and Philemon. Christ himself said that in the Gospels, that before you come and give your sacrifice, if you've got a fault with a brother, lay it down, go make it right, then come back. And so that's an interesting concept. When you think about what Paul is saying, putting a priority, he was my brother, he would have liked Onesimus to stay and serve there, but again, they knew the change for the gospel. Again, the partner in the gospel is a prisoner of Christ. Paul said that several times in some of his letters, that in the first characteristics that we see, we should be able to have a bond with other believers that will override any other relationships we have. There are, and I'm referring to the unsaved world, I'm referring to employees, employers, friends. There should be a bond when we have that knowing, we have that thread of Christ in our lives. And so how can we perfect that? How can we understand that bond? How can we work on that brotherhood of that bond? Now, there's ways in which we do that, by spending time together, by doing ministry together. I think one of the saddest things that I think that have happened over the last several years with this pandemic is that we have become isolated, and we are not joining together, going out doing things for Christ. We're not going out doing things in ministry. In fact, what's happening now is almost all ministry is being digitized. It's going out on Facebook. It's going out on YouTube. It's going out on the webs. It's going out, and what that is it isolates the ministry. You know, people aren't getting together and enjoying company. People aren't getting together and going out and doing things, and this is one of the things that I think is a bond that we really need to say, you know what, we need to start doing that. We need to start getting together. We need to start going out, doing things for Christ as a group, as people, and just being together. There's a joy in being able to sit down, and I'll just share, last night in RU, there was Pastor Lee was there, and Jason was there, I was there, and there was Gary was there, and you know, I had a thing that we were going to do and everything, but we just started talking, and the more we talk, the more I enjoyed the open forum around the table, just guys loving God, talking about issues of life. And we throw a scripture verse in there, and what do you think about that verse, and how's that verse fly to that? And we just had I think we went over a half hour, by the way. I mean, we just had a good time around the table. Man, you missed that. And so with this first characteristic, that's the goal. How can we get that brotherly, how can we get that bond, how can we get that fellowship back that the world has tried and is separating from us and taking us apart? We either let them win, or we stand up and say, you know, we need to simply stay true, and we need to simply do what we know. Basically, it comes to the point that Paul knew that the most important thing is to bring Philemon and Onesimus' bond back to what it should be. There was a tension between them. There was issues between them. And so Paul sent him back because of the love, because of the bond, because of the ministry, because of the partnership they had. Paul knew that was the right thing to do, even though he sacrificed in his own to do it. So that's the first characteristic. We're going down through a couple of the other ones, and we'll see where that leads us as we study down through. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for who you are. And God, it's interesting as we study through that, really, the issues haven't changed. The names and the scenarios and all of that has changed greatly. But Father, we can go to the scriptures and we can pull out the principles. We can pull out struggles that we have. We can pull out with the concepts that we need to be a part of, as far as the brotherhood and far as just the bonds and reaching out to people. And Lord, we need to do that. Father, I pray that you continue to give us the platform and continue to open the doors as we pray for them, as we walk through them. God, that you will be glorified and you'll be honored in the process. God, we just thank you and praise you in your son's name. Amen.